Meeting of the House Energy Committee will come to order. It is now 3:05 on the Ides of March.
Beware.
Beware of guys wearing togas carrying daggers, by the way.
That are right-handed.
Yeah, that are right-handed. It is Tuesday, March 15th, 2011. We are in day 57, which is very hard to believe. We are here in the Ramona Barnes Committee Room of the Alaska Capitol, which is room 124. Today, present, we have Representative Peterson, Representative Sadler, Representative Tuck, Representative Olson, and myself, Representative Pruitt. Representative Foster is excused today, and I will wait to hear from Representative Lamb. Let the record reflect, though, that we have a quorum to conduct business, and I would ask everyone to put their phone on either vibrate, mute, or off. It looks like Representative Lynn has now joined us. Also wants to get this is for the committee. I know yesterday my aide, Dirk Kraft, passed around, dropped off to you guys a draft of House concurrent resolution to be sponsored by the House Special Committee on Energy that would establish Alaska Working Group on Interstate Energy Production. And also in front of you is a copy of another resolution to be sponsored by the House Energy Committee classifying hydroelectric power as a renewable and alternative energy source. So obviously I think that one should be fairly well understood and agreed with throughout the building here as we go around and talk to other people. My intent is to have both of those introduced and read across the floor tomorrow. Please let me know if there's any concern that either one of you have or any of you have on that as we go forward. Today's agenda, we are hearing two bills. They are by Representative Kurt Olson, and this is their first hearing. My intent is to hear both of these and to hold them. The first one is HB 36. It's the Small Business Energy Efficiency Grants. Second one is HB 37, which is the Net Energy Metering Bill. Online to answer questions on HB 36 are Sean Scaling of AEA and Kerry Bowling of the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation. Also online for HB 37 are Bob Pickett and James Keene of the Regulatory Commission of Alaska and Stuart Goring of the Alaska Department of Law. With that being said, Representative Olson, if yourself, I believe actually you have deferred to your aide, if that's correct.
Actually, it'll probably go quicker if Jennifer Sinnett doesn't.
Okay. We're going to have Jennifer join us on the at the counter there. If you would please identify yourself for the record and tell us a little bit about the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of committee, good afternoon. The bill you have before you, House Bill 36, an act establishing the Alaska Energy Efficient Small Business Fund and Program. The bill itself is relatively simple. I think you're probably all aware of Alaska Housing Finance Corporation's successful home energy rebate program. I know they were in here earlier this year, and we heard a few presentations from them. What this legislation is intended to do is to create a program that mirrors that successful home program, but it does so for small businesses. The Small Business Energy Rebate Fund would allow small business owners wishing to make energy efficiency improvements on their businesses to receive a rebate for some of their expenditures. So like the program for homeowners, this new program for small businesses would require that an energy rater come in and evaluate a business structure before and after the improvements. Rebates would then be dependent on the relative amount of energy efficiency gained and the receipts of eligible improvements chosen by the business owner from the energy rating improvement options list. So HB 303, it lays out three guidelines which businesses must meet in order to qualify for the grant. The first is that the assessed value of the structure to be retrofitted or constructed with the grant cannot exceed $1 million. And this is really to make sure here that we're focusing on small businesses. We're not, you know, looking at Walmart-type structures. The second guideline which it must meet in order to qualify for the grant money is the structure has to be owned by a person or persons licensed to do business in the state, and that none of the applicants can have any outstanding liabilities to the state. And then the third criteria is that the structure must meet the additional criteria that are set for or that are adopted by the corporation. The committee, this committee has done well to encourage the use of renewable energy and encourage Alaskans to optimize energy uses or usage to use energy more efficiently. And we think that extending the energy efficiency grants that homeowners now enjoy, extending that out to the commercial sector, that's a it really complements your efforts so far. And this bill here, it's really a work in progress. It's intended to kind of start the discussion on what we can do for small businesses in the state in terms of energy efficiency encouragement. There's certainly issues with this legislation that would need to be fleshed out, not least of which would be, of course, you know, how much are we going to capitalize this program with? And I know Rep. Olson is committed to working with members of the committee on HB 36 to really come to some sort of agreement that can help encourage energy efficiency among small business owners in the state. And I think Representative Olson maybe has a word, if you might.
Representative Olson.
No, thank you, Mr. Chair. We had hoped to have a CS ready for this meeting, and it's still a work in progress. Basically, we're looking at making some changes to page 2, line 5 through 6, and changing the valuation to where it will possibly be on a square footage basis, to where it will have more of an impact on rural communities than, you know, $1 million limit in the bush and $1 million limit in the major cities are completely different. And I think we want to find a way to balance it out. So we're doing some minor tweaking, but we hope to have a more polished bill in the near future, but I would request that you hold it over.
Okay.
But I know we have people online that would care to testify, and that won't be changing the substance of the bill. It would be more a mechanical function.
Ironing out the details. Okay. What we'll do is, in the committee here, is there any questions for either Representative Olson or his aide? Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do have a couple questions in reading through the bill. what's the reason, looking, on page 2, line 4, this would extend the program to new buildings. And my thought is that given that energy efficiency and the value thereof is well known to businessmen by now, I think the effort of the weatherization rebate program is to improve the energy efficiency of existing structures. What's the thought process behind applying this to new buildings, new construction?
If I may, Mr. Chairman, for the record again, Jennifer Sinnett, we certainly recognize that now, you know, most people are not building a building that is not going to be energy efficient. This was crafted on the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation's home energy rebate program, and their program does, they do have language for building new homes that are 5-star plus, and so I think that is where the language came in. Certainly something that I believe the representative would be willing to work on, but that's kind of the genesis of it, although we do recognize the issue there.
Actually, I have a series of questions, if you don't mind.
Representative Sadler, please.
Let's see. I was looking, actually, in the backup material, there was a frequently asked question sheet, which is very helpful. It described that there are actually second mortgages available through AHFC up to $30,000 for new home construction, as you just said. Would you anticipate that this bill would be a step towards the state providing similar loan programs for businesses?
Well, I think we'd have to defer to Alaska Housing.
And let's see, I think we should have Carrie Bowling on the line. Carrie, are you there? And would you be willing to speak to that question?
Yes, this is Carrie Bowling, Government Relations Officer for Alaska Housing Finance Corporation. And the present home energy rebate program does have a separate component where there is a loan for $30,000, and the way that works is that when a person participates in the rebate program, they could also apply for the loan. And when they get the rebate actually goes to pay down the loan. It doesn't go directly to the person, to the individual. And that's how the present home energy rebate program works.
Follow up.
As to any Other issues regarding loan program for businesses. Currently, we do not have a loan program for businesses.
Would you be amenable to considering that?
Through the chair, we're very happy with the success of our home energy rebate program and the way it's worked, and so. Should there be an appropriation by the legislature, HSC would certainly do its best to undertake the challenge to make it successful like we have on the home energy rebate program.
Good answer. Thank you.
Okay. And I think you have another one, Representative Souther?
Yes. It's kind of the same question. Also on page 2, Mr. Chairman, line 11 talks about limiting this to, says that none of the applicants for this grant could have outstanding liabilities to the state. I do like the idea that you want to make sure people have their debts and fees and fines all paid up before you allow them another benefit, but could I guess just ask the sponsor what the thought was to limit this. My thought was, is there some kind of other loan program that might be similarly beneficial to the state that might, if they had that outstanding liability, it might prevent them from availing themselves of this benefit?
You got me.
Fair enough.
I've seen it in other state programs and other state contracts through the chair. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
I think it would be prudent for us to, if we're going to spend money, make sure that it's that the people we're spending it on are current on previous liabilities to the state.
Okay. Thank you, Ben.
Okay. Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was just in that same line. So if somebody had a student loan that they'd gotten from the state of Alaska, that would disallow them from applying for this program. Am I understanding that right?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Peterson, the language might be vague. Maybe we can work with the the appropriate people on that to clear that up. Maybe we should say that are delinquent on their loans or have some other sort of language in there to better define exactly what we're talking about, because I think we probably are, or you probably are, on the same page with Representative Olson here, but maybe focusing that language a little further would be what we should do.
Okay. And follow-up?
Follow-up, Representative Peterson.
Thank you. And in your opening statement, you mentioned that you were talking about the $1 million value of the building being the limit, and you mentioned Walmart. What if Walmart owned a smaller building for storage somewhere that was worth less than $1 million? Would they be able to technically be able to apply for this program for that one particular building?
Representative Peterson, through the chair, under the guidelines here in this bill, if they are licensed to do business in this state, if the person applying for that, I would believe that they could be, if it was a smaller, under $1 million structure.
We might want
to, like, follow up again.
Maybe the sponsor wants to talk about that.
Representative Olson.
I think the fiscal note would probably grow if we had to qualify people on their assets. And again, the argument probably made that on their liabilities too. But again, this is work in progress. I have been fortunate enough to be a participant in the Alaska Housing Program, and we completed it about 8 months ago. And I realized what a valuable tool it was, and thought that we might be able to extend it into the smaller commercial, but in our particular case, and I'm fortunate enough, like I think everybody at the table, to be on natural gas in South Central, and our gas bill has been reduced by over 50%, about 55% since we completed the program. So, I mean, I am a true believer on this, and would like to see a way that we could not only do it in South Central, but out in the rural areas, or find a way to expand it.
Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree with you on that, Kurt. I think it's a good idea. We just, we just probably need to tweak things a little bit here and there to make them clearer. But I also was going to ask you, do we need to come up with a specific definition of a small business? I kind of got into a quagmire when we brought this up a year ago in another bill when we were talking about, some people have a different definition than others as to what is considered a small business. I think the federal definition might be 100 employees, if I'm not mistaken. And I think in Alaska, a business with 100 employees is probably would be considered not to be a small business for most of Alaska. That's a pretty good sized business for Alaska. So we
can I answer that?
Yep, Representative Olson.
What Representative Peterson is referring to is this bill was before the Energy Committee last year. And at that point in time, it had appeared that it was going to be part of the omnibus energy bill and that the Energy Committee was going to flesh it out. And I would be absolutely delighted to turn this over to the Energy as an Energy Committee bill. And we could all, if things slow down enough, I mean, it doesn't have to be for this year, but if we work on it this session and in the interim and do a quality product, I would be absolutely delighted to make it a Energy Committee bill and have all of us work on it as a body and get it right. And then we can, but again, this was originally set up as a tool to get the ball moving last year. And I apologize for not having a CS, but I would have missed some of the things that are important to everybody at this table. But if you'd like, I can have it reassigned to the Energy Committee.
We can. We can talk about it.
Yeah. I mean, we're not going to move it today, but and then we can.
What, Representative Peterson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And also, when we were talking to the housing, Alaska Housing, they talked about the funding that they would need to continue the rebate and the weatherization programs at their current pace. And in the budget this year was $25 million, and they said they would need an additional $75 million just to keep those programs going at their current pace. And so if we were going to add this additional program, we would probably need to come up with, but we'd have to get an estimate of how much we thought this would cost, of course. And so it would probably be a significant number, I would imagine.
Yeah, probably would be. We have on the line, we also have from AEA, Sean Scaling. Would you like to add anything to the commentary that's here? Obviously, you guys not necessarily administer, but you were a part of the omnibus last year. You were part of the conversation. Anything you'd like to add to this?
Yes. Hi. This is Sean Scaling, Program Manager for Energy Efficiency at Alaska Energy Authority. And thanks for having me on and asking the question. I guess the one thing I could bring up is we have, using federal stimulus money, we have a commercial energy audit program that's just gotten started. And I have some results that when I was in Juneau a few weeks ago, gave some interim results, but I have kind of the final. It looks like we got 135 applications during the pretty quick six-week open application period. Excuse my stuttering. I'm hearing an echo, which is throwing me off a little bit. So this program is just for the energy audit. It'll subsidize the cost of an audit between $1,000 and $6,000, roughly, depending on the size of the organization. And it goes up to a maximum of $125,000. But we were pretty pleased with the 135 applications. I think it shows that there's definitely a need to address the privately owned commercial sector. One interesting thing that I found through these applications was the cost of energy per square foot is all over the board, ranging from 35 cents per square foot to $19.01 per square foot per year to pay for energy. It's just a massive spread, and it's very skewed. The average is $2.35 per square foot. But yet there are a lot of outliers that are $10 plus. And so there's obviously a need here to, I think, provide some sort of assistance to the businesses. Another interesting fact is to be eligible for this rebate. We asked – I'm sorry, this echo is just killing me. I'm going to try to ignore it. We asked the applicant what – what they would actually implement. And the way we gauged it is what kind of payback are they comfortable with? Are they comfortable with a one-year payback and they'll implement any energy efficiency measures, they'll pay for themselves in 1 year or 2 years or 9 years or what? And the average was 4.5 years. They committed to implementing those measures themselves with their own funding. And so there's, I guess these are probably the early adopters, but they seem pretty aggressive about going after their energy savings, and so we're pleased to see that. And I think that's really about all I wanted to contribute at this point, but that program seems to be off to a good start with the stimulus funds.
Okay. Anyone have any questions from Sean? Okay. Well, with that being said, any other further commentary before we go ahead and hold this bill?
One more question.
Representative Peterson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was just wondering, would rental properties fall under this? Would they be considered a small business if someone had owned a couple rental properties that were under $1 million, would they qualify as this is written? Do you know about that?
Representative Peterson, through the chair, I am not sure about that. I can get back to you with that information.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, good question. Representative Sadler.
Thank you. Not a question, more a comment. I do like the idea of extending the benefits of the energy efficiency programs that AHFC can provide to business. Obviously, business burns a lot of gas as well. I don't want anyone to take my questions as evidence that I don't support it. I think it's a good idea. And there's needs, obviously, in businesses as well as homes. So look forward to working on it.
Okay, very good. Well, with that being said, we will we'll hold it. We are going to hold this bill for further hearing. And with that being said, as we switch out, we're going to take a quick brief at ease, and we'll come back with HB 37. Order. We move now to House Bill 37. We have, as mentioned earlier, Bob Pickett and James Keene from the Regulatory Commission of Alaska, as well as Stuart Goring from the Alaska Department of Law. All three of them are online. We have several other individuals who are also online who would like to testify. We will get to them. With that being said, please, Jennifer, if you would go ahead with 37.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, Jennifer Sinnett, staff to Representative Olson. We're looking here at House Bill 37, net energy metering. The bill you have before you today, it incorporates the work that the RCA has done over the past few years in regards to net metering. In early 2009, the RCA opened a docket to consider implementing regulations, implementing an Alaska-specific net metering standard. Later that year, the proposed regs went out for public comment, and then after finally reviewing all of these comments which came in from all over the state and from utilities statewide, the RCA voted to adopt net metering regulations at its October in 2009 meeting. So basically what HB 37 does is it codifies these regs that were adopted by the RCA. So first, Mr. Chair, if I may, I'll just go into a very brief description of net metering, and then I'll move into the bill itself. The basics here, net metering is a simplified method of metering energy consumed and produced at a home or business that has its own renewable energy generator, such as a wind turbine or solar panels. In its simplest form, net metering employs a standard electrical meter to record the flow of energy back and forth between a home generator and the utility's power grid. So when the sun is shining or when the wind is blowing and the generator produces more power than the home is actually consuming, the meter spins backwards and recording credits, and that sends energy onto the grid and gives credits to the consumer. And then at other times when the home is not producing enough for its own needs, or rather the home system is not producing enough for its own needs, it receives electricity from the grid the normal way, the meter would then spin forward. So then at the end of the agreed billing period, the customer would only pay for its net consumption of energy. So now this basic what net metering is. Moving to the bill itself, I think I'll just take it more or less section by section. If you're looking at subsection, starting on the first page, subsections A, B, and D, D as well, they address the applicability of the net metering requirement and the possibility of waiving requirements upon application. Generally speaking, a net metering requirement would apply to it would apply to all electric utilities subject to the regulation by the RCA. There are two exceptions here, and you'll see the exceptions on the following page, and that's under A and B. The first exception here would be utilities getting 100% of their electrical power supplied by an eligible facility. And then the second exception here would be an independent system with retail sales of less than 5 million kilowatt hours during the previous fiscal year. So, for example, Alaska Power Company provides service to 21 different communities on each having their own separate electrical system. But only five of these systems sold more than 5 million kilowatt hours during the 2007 fiscal year. So those five systems would be the only portion of Alaska Power Company required to participate in the net metering program. And I should note that a utility that demonstrates that limiting net metering installations is necessary due to the operational issues of the system would not be required to participate with net metering. Also, the RCA can waive any requirement upon application. Then moving on, looking at subsections E through I, those really relate to the actual net metering of electricity, and specifically these sections set an overall capacity limit on net metering. If you look at section F, you'll see that a utility can opt out of net metering service if the overall nameplate capacity of all net metering systems interconnected with the utility exceeds 1.5% of the utility's average retail demand. So, for instance, if you have five self-generating systems that come online and their combined output number exceeds 1.5% of the average annual demand, the utility would not have to accept the new net metering law. And you'll see that in subsection I on page 3, however, that a utility can request an increase to that 1.5% capacity limit. Back to G, I think we're at. This precludes the utility from disconnecting existing net metering customers. Net metering customers should the cumulative nameplate capacity of net metering systems interconnected with the distribution system exceed the cap as a result of a decrease in demand. So they can't just cut people off if all of a sudden the demand is decreased. Moving on to Section H, this requires a utility to annually publish in its tariff the number of kilowatt hours that are equivalent to 1.5% of the utility's average retail demand. And Section I, as I mentioned before, this is the part that allows utilities to request an increase to that 1.5% average retail demand capacity. Now to Section L. This specifies the eligibility criteria for consumer generation facilities, and this includes a generation capacity limit of 25 kilowatts, and that's on page 4, line 18. Subsections M through P, they address the charges or credits of for net electricity. Subsection M really is kind of that describes net metering, and that's it's a requirement that the utility measure a net metering consumer's energy consumption and generation, with net metering consumers being billed for net consumption and receiving bill credits when the customer generation exceeds usage.
I'm looking for Section M. I'm not seeing it. Could you point out where it is on what page and line?
It should be on page four.
Please continue.
All right. So we just talked about M. Then also on page 5, subsection 2 here, you'll see that the compensation is based on a utility's non-firm purchase power rate, and that's typically on an avoided cost type basis. And credits can be carried forward, and they do not expire. So just to emphasize here, if someone builds a renewable energy facility and they contribute more to the system than they actually take off, they will get credits. They do not get a check. They don't get cash. And these credits don't expire. Subsection N allows utilities to charge a net metering consumer for non-generation related consumer charges if those charges are authorized by a utility's tariff. And subsection P allows a utility to request a change to its rate design to incorporate a net metering customer class. But to do this, the utility would have to demonstrate an adverse material rate impact on those consumers who are not net meterers. And then the remaining part of the bill is definitions. And I realize it's kind of a lot to go through in that manner. But and I will say, and I'd like to apologize to the committee at this point, but the representative met with the Alaska Power Association last month when they were here in Juneau, and there did not seem to be any big holdups with this particular piece of legislation. Since we have been hearing a little bit of feedback from them, and it's come to our attention that they do have some issues with this legislation, and you know, according to the representative, and these issues are, you know, they have a point, and with some of the issues that they have, they're valid. So. And the issues that they have primarily have to do with the fact that these RCA regs, they were just adopted. They were only adopted in June, and so there hasn't been a lot of time to kind of see where the utilities are at on this. Just we haven't had a lot of time to see how it's working, basically, and that's kind of the crux of their issues with that. So it's possibly a little too early in the process to codify these regs, and actually it looks like the RCA is maybe not completely done working on net metering in the first place. And
Representative.
Yeah, if I might add, we've had no negative comments until yesterday, and one utility weighed in yesterday afternoon, and they raised some of the same issues. Today we were contacted by the Alaska Power Authority and a couple of other interested parties, and they made a valid point. I mean, we're doing something that hasn't been completely implemented by the RCA and hasn't been signed off on by the Department of Law. They may be done as early as May, but it could be a lot later by the time the Department of Law gets done with it. But it would be my request that this bill be pushed forward till January of next year when all the smoke is settled, we can see what is actually out there. But a slightly different version of this bill, but materially about the same, was the bill that generated the docket. And at that time, I pulled the bill because there was an open docket, and by codifying it, we're just going to make it a little harder for it to be changed. But again, people are weighing in. We're going to have testimony today from people that have some concerns, and I think that we probably should hold it till January and then see, number one, if there's a need for it, or number two, if there is, and do something with it. But I'm certainly amenable to the fact that you know, we're fixing something that's not quite done, or codifying something that's not quite done, and there could be unintended consequences.
Could you just finish the last piece, or are you through before we move to questions?
Mr. Chairman, I am basically finished. As I said, the rest of the bill that I didn't exactly go over, that was the remaining part, was just definitions, so I think that will conclude my testimony.
All right, thank you. Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We, the Energy Committee, actually talked to I think it might have been 2 years ago, about net metering, and we're trying to decide whether we wanted to codify a bill, you know, we received information that the RCA would be coming up with the regulations themselves, and so we waited for those regulations to come out, and I agree that it makes sense that we wait a little while longer and see what changes to those regulations the RCA makes on their own. And as some people get some experiences with the regulations, there may be some additional changes we want to make a year or so from now or whatever. So that makes good sense to me.
Thank you. Representative, did you have something?
No,
okay. Thank you. Representative Sadler.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Two brief questions. Is there a technical limit to how much power a utility can take back into a system? There's a 1.5% cap, but you also said there's a mechanism for voluntarily increasing that cap. Are there technical or other limitations?
Representative Sadler, through the chair, I think that question might better be addressed by one of the folks online.
Yeah, I agree. Online we have James Keene, who's an RCA engineer, as well as we have individual from Homer Electric or even the Alaska Power Association. What we'll do is start with James Keene. As an engineer with RCA, is this a question that you might be able to help us in answering?
Go ahead, James.
Through the chair, yes. So this is James Keene. I can try to give you a general answer to the question. Utilities participating in the proceeding that produced the regulations indicated there is a limitation to how much non-firm power they can receive and maintain stability in their systems. The net metering power that's addressed in this regulation and in the bill that you're looking at is non-firm. It's not able to be controlled by the utility, and so there are system stability concerns as you go higher. Some utilities can take more. Some utilities may struggle with that, and so in trying to put together a comprehensive regulation, we had to address that by kind of starting off with a low cap.
Good. Follow up
on by Representative Sadler.
That's a good answer. I appreciate that. On a related topic, is the meter required to give you a net outread of an individual consumer's power? Is that net meter any more expensive? And if it's more expensive than a normal meter, who pays for that cost?
Through the chair, the answer to that question is the utility may choose to install a second meter so they can measure input and output, but the utility is responsible through the existing regulation to pay for the cost of an additional meter. So the purpose of the idea is to keep the cost of the meter the same for a net metering customer as it is for a non-net metering customer.
So the cost for that additional meter just becomes part of the overhead and therefore part of the tariff?
That is correct.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. Any other questions now? Again, like we said, we have the RCA online. If any of you have questions for them overall relating to this, feel free to ask. Anyone in the committee? All right, what we'll do is we also have several individuals out there who are here for public testimony. What we'll do is we'll start, looks like in Anchorage, we have two individuals, Marilyn Lillard from Alaska Power Association and Dean Thompson. We'll start with Marilyn. If you would, please state your name as well as your association for us, and as this is public testimony, if you'd please limit it to 3 minutes or so. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. This is Marilyn Leland in Anchorage, and thank you for the opportunity to comment on House Bill 37. Some of what I'm going to be saying you've already had in your discussion, but I would like to get it into the record on behalf of APA. As I mentioned, I'm the executive director of Alaska Power Association, and that's a statewide trade association that represents the electric utilities that supply power to more than 500,000 Alaskans, from Barrow to southwestern Alaska, through the interior and south central, and down the Inside Passage. By way of background, I'd first like to give you a little history of how we got to where we are today. In 2006 through 2008, net metering was being considered by the Regulatory Commission of Alaska in its docket on the adoption of regulations to implement amendments to the Public Utility Regulatory Policies Act of 1978 by the Energy Policy Act of 2005. In that docket, the commission was required to make a decision as to whether it would adopt the federal standard for Alaska for net metering. The commission decided that it would not adopt the federal standard, but opened a docket to determine whether it would require net metering standards specific for Alaska. The docket was opened in January 2009, and several workshops were held for interested parties to work on the proposed regulations. Because this docket was already open and under consideration during the last legislative session, APA recommended that the legislature not take action on any of the net metering bills that were before it. No further action was taken by the legislature on any of those bills, and the RCA process was a success. There was exceptionally good participation in the workshops, with more public participation than the RCA had experienced in any of its dockets before. In the workshops, commission staff, utility representatives, and a variety of public participants worked through proposed regulations and came to agreement for all who participated, could live with. And I really want to commend the RCA for the process they used in this docket. I thought it was a huge success and a great example of public participation. The commission issued an order adopting regulations on January 15, 2010. However, and this is very important, the agency has not yet completed work on its net metering regulations. The RCA is considering further revisions to the currently effective net metering regulations to address interconnection requirements for net meter generation. As presently proposed, the new requirements will be added as a section within the current net metering regulations. An RCA order in R092 is expected by May 5th, but it can take months for the Department of Law to review and certifications before regulations are finalized and placed into effect. APA and its members support the intent of the sponsor of HB 37. However, we believe that codification is at least premature, and we urge that no action be taken at this time. In fact, we believe that putting the RCA net metering regulations in statute is not necessary. The RCA has addressed the issue well and is best suited to address any needed changes in the future. Codifying the current regulations will limit the RCA's ability to implement any needed changes in the future and could well lead to unintended consequences. Current net metering requirements and any future changes involve careful balancing of issues of utility rate making, utility system operations, consumer input, and policy. APA understands the good intention that codifying net meter regulations guards against precipitous future changes, but based on the RCA's open and thoughtful rulemaking process employed thus far, APA is comfortable leaving net metering in the regulatory arena. As I said, APA understands there are good arguments for the statutory as well as the regulatory approach, but favors the regulatory approach at this time. The RCA is empowered and tasked by statute and has the technical expertise and experience to conduct the research and the balancing of interests necessary to address net metering. In addition, APA believes the RCA's well-established rulemaking process provides the necessary opportunity for public comment, workshops, and analysis. Also important to note is that some state legislatures have enacted net metering statutes because their public utilities commissions were not able or willing to adequately address the issue, and that is not the case in Alaska. I am aware that there are provisions in the bill that would allow the RCA to make modifications or add additional requirements, but we are concerned that the commission would be reluctant to do that when it's already in statute. The members of APA are not opposed to small renewable regeneration or to purchasing power from such consumer-owned generation. Our members are likewise not opposed to consumers reducing their electric purchases by using their own generation. The issue is making sure that a purchase power rate is not just fair for the seller of that power, but is equitable to all rate payers of a utility who must share in any subsidized rate. APA believes the Regulatory Commission is best equipped to make those determinations. And in closing, I would like to thank Representative Olson for the hard work that he has done on this issue. He and I have had some good conversations about the bill, and we genuinely appreciate his intentions to encourage Alaskans to take advantage of our renewable energy resources. Thank you, and I'm available for questions.
Any questions from committee? I do have one. If you might be able to answer this. Can you help me understand how, obviously, the members of APA would be affected by this in the sense of if the power that is being generated is going to displace power that the utilities buy at a wholesale rate, how will the customers who are not participating by having their own generation, how are they going to be affected by this?
What I'd like to do is I have Dean Thompson here with me, our legal counsel, that we've worked on this one. And if it's all right with you, I'd like to ask him to answer that.
Please, Dean, if you would, please state your name as well as your affiliation for the committee.
Yes, thank you. My name is Dean Thompson. I am an attorney that works with the Alaska Power Association, and I worked with APA and its members through the RCA process, the workshops and comments, and in discussions with the other commenters in that proceeding. And the question that you ask is something that was analyzed extensively in the RCA record. And I think how I would answer it is, as the regulations are written now, the amount by which the net metered customer is compensated for excess generation is determined based upon the utility's avoided cost. And so that means if the utility burns one less gallon of fuel because of the excess production, then the costs that it avoided for that fuel are paid to the net metered customer. And so to the extent that the calculations are accurate in that process. The other customers are not affected at all from that transaction. The other part of it is that through net metering, a net metered customer can offset his own energy use, and so energy use will decline, and over time that will have some marginal impact on the other customers' rates, because total purchases from the utility are going down and fixed costs are spread over fewer units. But by and large, that is that's a relatively small impact with the program as it's limited currently. And that is basically, that part of it is essentially the same impact as a consumer just conserving their energy demand. So in summary, as long as the pricing is based upon avoided cost, as is currently in the regulations, there shouldn't be a significant impact on the other utility customers.
Thank you so much, Dean. Representative Peterson.
Thank you. I've got a question for Dean. So if the price of fuel, the fuel that the utility is using to generate electricity, went up, the price that the consumer would be paid would also go up? Is that correct?
Through the chair, that is correct.
Thank you.
Any other questions for the Power Association while we have them? Okay. Well, thank you so much, Marilyn and Dean. Move now to Joe Gallagher from, he's down in Kenai, and he's with Homer Electric Association. If you would, please state your name as well as your affiliation for the record.
Yes, thank you. My name is Joe Gallagher, and I am the Public Relations Coordinator for Homer Electric Association. We are the member-owned cooperative serving the Western Kenai Peninsula. Through the chair, again, thank you for the opportunity to testify on HB 37. I will be brief in my remarks. Homer Electric Association is generally supportive of HB 37, and we very much appreciate the efforts of Representative Olson and his staff in crafting HB 37. With that said, we would agree with Representative Olson's earlier comments that probably the best thing at this point would be to maybe delay any action on the bill until this coming January. Homer Electric Association did move rather quickly once the RCA regulations were recently adopted. We worked with the RCA, and we have the language that the RCA adopted is now part of Homer Electric's tariff. So this language is in our tariff, and we are currently operating with that language in place. So we're getting a firsthand look, basically, at how it works. Right now, Homer Electric has 39 of its members who have an interconnected system. We have, 28 wind projects in place, and I believe 11 solar projects in place at this point. And up to now, the program seems to be working. Again, it's a relatively new program, but again, at this point, we are operating under the RCA regulations. It's part of our tariff, and I think both our members and the cooperative itself at the management level are pleased with the result at this point. So in closing, again, we do support generally the concept of HB 37, but we would agree that it is probably a little bit premature at this point to codify it. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Joe. Is there any questions? It looks like Representative Sadler.
Real brief question. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Joe, you say 39 members. That's out of how many ratepayers at HEA?
We have approximately 28,000 meters on our system at this point. So as you can see, it's a very small number.
Okay. And a question I don't think you can answer, but I would ask just throughout the ether to see who might answer. What is the current number of people that involve net metering who can or generators? Obviously, it's not large, but anyone have any kind of number?
That is a good question, and I don't know. Maybe the RCA might be able to answer that, or APA. Is there anyone out there, maybe Bob, James, or Stuart with the RCA, or Marilyn or Dean with APA, that might be able to answer that for us?
James Keene with the Regulatory Commission. Through the chair, in answer to the question, part of what you'll see in the proposed bill, which is in our regulation, is that by March 1st of each year, the utilities must report to the commission the amount of nameplate capacity connected through the net metering project. Of the utilities that are affected, we've received four tariff updates here just recently. And I can give you a percentage of the 1.5% cap utilized, and maybe the most useful number. For Chugach Electric Association, they've only used 0.25% of the 1.5% cap. There's only one 5-kilowatt customer interconnected. Homer Electric has the most at 101.4 kilowatts of connected capacity. That's 12.61% of their 1.5% cap. Matanuska Electric has 51 kilowatts connected. That's 4.36% of their 1.5% cap. And finally, Golden Valley Electric has 25 kilowatts connected. That's 1.12% of their 1.5% cap. So that gives you a sense of where the affected utilities are right now.
Great. Thank you very much. I apologize for switching witnesses. Thanks.
All right. Thank you. Any other questions for Mr. Gallagher before we move on? All right. Thank you, Mr. Gallagher, for your testimony there. We move now to Nome. It looks like we have two individuals there. We'll start with Mr. James Adam, if you would. Adams, please, if you would, put your name on as well as your affiliation, if there is any, on the record.
Yeah, good afternoon, and thank you for this opportunity. My name is Jim Adams. I live in Nome. I have a private windmill on my house connected to the grid here, Nome Joint Utilities, and I support this bill, and I hope you guys too. It's only good business to be able to use our renewable resources to reduce our fuel consumption, diesel, which has to be either barged in or flown into a lot of the surrounding villages, including Nome, too. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Adams. Is there any questions from committee for Mr. Adams? Okay. Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jim, how much electricity are you producing, percentage-wise, or how much has your bill been reduced? Do you have those numbers?
Yes, I do. I've had my windmill for about two and a half years, and it's reducing my light bill by about $50 a month on the average.
Thank you.
I'll follow up with that. Is $50, please, if you would, compare that to your total bill. About how much is that, or how much was your bill prior? How much percentage savings is it?
It's probably 20-25%, somewhere in there.
Okay. Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah. All right. If there's no other questions for Mr. Adams, I thank you, Mr. Adams, for taking the time. And we'd like to move to Megs Testamarta in Nome. If you would, please state your name as well as your affiliation, if there is any, for the record.
Hi, my name is Megs Testamarta. I'm here as a private individual. I'm actually working on a degree in renewable energy engineering. And I was just talking to Jimmy Adams here, and he didn't mention to you, but he doesn't get net metering. He doesn't get credit when his meter goes backwards right now. And could I ask Mr. Gallagher a question about, he gave percentages for a lot of utilities, and he didn't mention Nome. I was wondering if he has any information about the percent reported for Nome.
I think that was Mr. Keene with RCA that gave us that information. We can briefly just ask him if he has any information, and then we'll come back to you. Mr. Keene, are you there, and would you have any numbers for Nome?
Through the chair, this is James Keene. In regards to Nome Joint Utilities, they are not economically regulated by the commission, and therefore the existing regulations and the bill as proposed would not have application to Nome.
Okay, thank you so much, Mr. Keene. There are Nome, Megs Testamarta, would you please continue?
Thank you very much. That's big disappointment to us here in Nome, but I will continue. I'm happy that the state is pushing for renewable energy, and I've participated in the Alaska Energy Authority Wind Work Group. They had a meeting here in Nome last fall, and I think it was a statewide meeting. I think it's a consensus of people trying to push renewable energy that a lot of this is being held back. The statewide push for renewables is being held back by the utilities and their reluctance to work with renewable, which in some cases is understandable because their diesel systems have operated without it, and they're afraid that they might be upset or operate at least less efficiency. There are projects in the state that show that it's possible, though. There's even systems where the diesel is turned off completely at times, and Kanakanak is just coming online with diesel off, and there's been a system operating in St. Paul for quite a while that will go to diesel off when there's enough wind power. So I really think the experiences of the particular utilities determine how much they're willing to do net metering, and I really would like to see this bill go through so that all utilities are on the same level in their, whether they're enthusiastic or not, that all of us people in the state have an opportunity to participate in Alaska's goal of becoming more sustainable and using more renewable energy. And I guess I'm very sorry to hear that Nome is opted out and that this state bill would not even affect Nome, because we really are held back here. And as Jimmy will say, he saves some money by putting his windmill up, but he gets no credit for anything when his meter rolls backwards right now. And we were just hoping that this would help with what's going on with our utility company here and give us a chance to participate up in Nome. But even if it doesn't, I hope this goes through for the rest of the state and for everyone out there like us that wants to be involved in making renewable energy a prominent part of our future.
Thank you. Are there
go
any?
Ahead,
please go ahead and finish your
thank
thought.
You. I just had one other question, and it has to do specifically with something in the bill. And that was Section 1, letter I, where it says that if 1.5% isn't enough, the utility can go ahead and ask for it to be raised. And considering the reluctance of the utilities to even be involved in this, or at least some of the utilities, I would like to see it so that not only the utility, but perhaps the consumers could petition for that 1.5% cap to be raised if it comes to that point in the future. Thank you very much for listening to my comments.
All right, thank you so much for your comments there. Is there any questions from the committee? All right, thank you. We have in the building here, we have Gene Terrio from Golden Valley Electric Association, also a member of the legislature. We invite you to please come introduce yourself and state your name for the record as well as your association at this time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, Gene Terrio with Golden Valley Electric Association. Our comments today are very similar to those offered by Mr. Gallagher with HEA. We are generally supportive of the legislation. And thankful to the sponsor of the bill for his past interaction and assistance with the utilities in getting the issue before the RCA and having the docket work through the docket, producing basically the language that you see proposed for codification today. We do understand the concern of the utilities, particularly the smaller utilities that may have more difficulty integrating net metered power into their system. Our system is, of course, much bigger, much more robust. And as you heard, the 1.12% is approaching the limit that is suggested in the bill, but we're not there yet, even with the SNAP program and the SNAP Plus program that we operate, which actually do encourage people to generate their own power. I think the suggestion by the sponsor today that the bills be be worked on but held from final passage until next January, as you've heard from other other testifiers, is a sensible thing just to see exactly how the reg package does get fleshed out and actually implemented. We believe that it will preserve the ability for the legislature then to look at that completed package next year and decide whether to move forward with codification and whether to put the entire package in. There was just a suggestion that that the ratepayers also be able to petition to the RCA to increase the 1.5%. Of course, the ratepayers always have access through the legislature to petition their elected officials to go back and modify the number in the statute were this to be put into statutes as is on paper today. The other thing that I think has largely been taken care of by the position of the sponsor today is that our concern was that this legislation is built very tightly around the language that was brought into being by the RCA, and the concern would be that as it goes from committee to committee, whether it morphed into something that was beyond what the RCA had worked at. As you've heard, the work that the RCA did was very cooperative with the utilities to make sure that big utilities, small utilities, it would work for all of them. And if the legislation, as it moved from committee to committee, were to be modified into something that was far beyond what the RCA had proposed, then I think the utilities, including Golden Valley, would have concern. Thank you.
Representative Olson.
I'd like to make a comment that I made in private yesterday, but I'll make it in public. If in a year that we go back and revisit the bill, and if it did pass, if it morphed in the process from something away from the original intent, it would not get out of the body.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other comments and questions from the committee members? Okay. Thank you, Mr. Terrio, for your for your testimony there. Before we move on and basically table this bill for a period of time, is there any other comments that we have from the committee, any concerns they have, or anyone else potentially out in the audience or online? Hearing none, we will table this bill until the sponsor requests that we hear it again, at which time we will take that upon us again. Wraps up today's hearing, and our next meeting is Thursday, on March 17th. We do have two bills. Unfortunately, I don't have the numbers of those right in front of me, but we do have two bills that we will be hearing on Thursday. So again, at 3:00 on Thursday. With that being said, we no further business, and we will adjourn.